Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out FreddieDeAngelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, FreddieDeAngelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, guy. This is Aaron from Welcome Home, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Welcome Home.
What's up?
Hey.
How we doing?
Hey, what's up?
You guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves for those listening?
What's up? This is Austin.
This is Nick.
How are we doing? This is Brandon.
And my name is Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exciting, guys. This is our first time really getting the hang.
Yes, sir.
I've been following you guys for a bit now. I think I first started taking notice to Welcome Home when you guys played Del Mar Hall with Fivefold.
Yeah, it was a sweet show.
That was
a fantastic
great show.
Great show.
Got nailed in the face on that show with a bass head.
Couldn't be better.
That was a fun night, and that's when I first started really getting to know you guys a little bit and your sound and stuff, and been following along on line and stuff, and it's cool that we finally get to link up today and get to hang out. And
absolutely. I'm excited.
Yeah.
That was the first time I had ever met you and heard of the Rock Paper podcast.
Yeah,
and been looking forward to doing one ever since. I'm glad it finally. Worked out.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Finally, we're here. We got, but we do have a lot of things happening. We got a big show coming up. And so we got a lot going on for Welcome Home. We want to share. And so we do have the big show, like I said, February 16th. You can come over to the Firebird and see these guys live.
Yes, sir.
And we do have some tickets available for $10.
Yeah, 10, 10 in advance, 12 at the door, $2 surcharge for minors.
Yep.
And what are we have our buddies and the Weekend Classic coming out from Indiana. We have our other friends from Florida, Intervention, both sick bands, toured with both of them. Awesome people, most genuine of guys, some of our best friends, and
even better musicians.
Yeah,
honestly.
Even better musicians. So definitely don't want to miss those two. And then as far as like from around home, we got Free Parking, who are some of our buddies. They played the last show and absolutely killed it. So we're at. We're like super excited to have them back, and then our friends in Secondary, who we haven't played with
in a long time.
In a long time. In fact, not all of us played with them.
Yeah, they played before I was a part of the band. And I came and watched them. Yeah. Actually, I worked with a few of the guys from Secondary, so I knew about them. And then I heard that they were playing with my brother in the band. I was like, oh, I'll go see them both. Which was a great show.
That's the first time you ever saw it.
At the demo, actually. Back when the demo was a thing.
R.I.P. demo.
Yeah, R.I.P. to the demo.
But, been a long time. Yeah. And so, finally get to play with them. And, Doors at 7, show at 8. So, come on out. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be a good time.
So like I said, I don't know a ton about Welcome Home. Let's go back a bit and tell me, let's kind of cover some of this backstory. How did this group come to be, guys?
There was a band before Welcome Home called Saved by the Bell.
Great show.
Which was much better show than the band, I could say. But just kind of like pretty generic, a little aggressive pop punk band. But that was me, and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was banned for like not quite a year, probably 8 or 9 months. And then we had a lot of member change, like a lot of swap out, and decided to change our name to kind of fit the new group. That's when Kenny joined, and yeah, we changed our name to Welcome Home. And at the time, it was just me, Kenny, and Aaron.
Yeah.
And then Austin came.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 years ago exactly, B. Yeah. Jones came. So,
that's correct.
And we've been a band for like all together, I guess, about 3.5 years.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
time
my
flies.
God.
I'm just about at the 2 year mark.
That being said,
I'm going on year 3.
Oh my God, maybe I'm closer to 4 years. Yeah. Oh no.
My 2 year mark is like 2 weeks here.
Three, pretty much exactly. From the time, like, I guess there was a band kind of before it, but by the time, like, we started really taking this seriously and wanted to be a band, like, this was, you know, not so much of a hobby. It's been about 3 years exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, and you guys have done a lot already in that 3 years. I mean, playing some big shows and you know, they got the record out, got been on the road doing some stuff. And
yeah, dude, constantly trying to be out on the road. That's the big thing that we all really enjoy doing. And it's been honestly too long since we have been on the road last. Mm-hmm. So
it's been about 2 months since our last time on the road.
And it seems like an excruciating
amount. Before that, well, in the last year and a half, we've spent over 200 days on the road.
Yeah.
About half the time.
Yeah.
200 shows confirmed that we played. So in the last year and a half, we've spent, you know, about... three-fourths of a year just playing out of town and trying to spread the word of our music, really. Yeah.
Not there yet, but we're trying to earn the road dog patch.
Yeah.
So we can get it tattooed and not be posers. That's all I want.
That's all we really want. We just want the road dog.
We're really just a band so we can get the road dog tattooed. That's about it. But
that I imagine it's, you know, very rewarding in a sense. I mean, it's like, it's a lot of work, you know, being on the road and like, you know, you're surviving off of Taco Bell and sleeping on couches and everything else, but like...
Or in the van.
Yeah.
In the van, for that matter.
Half the time, if not more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I imagine, like, you know, the moment you get on stage and you see the people and all that, like, I mean, it makes it all worth it. I imagine, I just think, like, that's like, you know, that's the dream. That's what everybody wants to get out there and do that. But, you know...
It's like... It's not quite what, you know, I imagined as like a little kid to like what touring would be like. That being said, it's still so awesome. Like, when we're gone, man, we just get to see so many cool things. It's just us five or six. Sometimes we'll bring our buddy Dave with us to do photos, and we just hang out for a month. And the only responsibility we have is to be at a show. That's it, which isn't too bad of a responsibility.
No, right.
So, oh, man, I miss it. I really want to.
It's also really cool because now we've been pretty much all over the country at least a few times now. So that whenever we go somewhere, we have friends that we've made in those cities or whatever. So we get to go and just see... Yeah. All of our friends in different places all the time.
Always have someone to look forward to seeing. Yeah. You know, like, besides music alone, like, there's a reason, we have a reason to be excited to go to every city.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, friends of ours are just, like, a cool place we've been that we like going back to, or maybe it's, like, just the shows have been always awesome in particular cities. So, like, no matter what, there's always something to be excited for, like, every single day. And it's, like, it's a lot of work, you're right. But you learn pretty quick, like, how to survive the best on tour.
Right.
And, you know, after getting through that learning curve, which we've been through... a good amount.
You never really know what's going to happen when you're on the way to the show. You know, you got like an hour to get there.
Well, not only that, but it's just like, so our first ever like real big tour, like we'd done like a couple weekenders and like a week run, like 10 days or something like that. But our first big one was like a year and a half ago, And we were going out for like 34 days from like the end of May through like July 1st or 2nd or something. And then we came home for like 2 weeks and did 30 more days about. But the thing about that was, so our van, may she rest in peace.
Yeah. She actually just passed.
She just passed.
Bye, Ebony.
Sweet. We had
this one's for you.
No AC. No AC. One of our windows didn't work, and we didn't have a trailer. And we have a lot of equipment, so we used to just sleep on top of our stuff in an oven. Yeah, is what it really was.
Pretty much.
So now, after getting a trailer, man, we live luxuriously. It is.
We did live.
We
luxurious.
Did. Yeah.
Oh, we built a bunk in the back of the van. We had two bench seats. Everyone slept laying down completely, so it was. It wasn't bad if you had to stay in there until, you know, you're in the middle of Tucson or Phoenix and it's 110 degrees at 7 in the morning.
I almost died. There was a morning I'm allergic to dogs and cats, so because of singing, I'll have to sleep in the van sometimes, even if everyone else doesn't have to, to avoid that. And there was one morning in Tucson where by like 9 in the morning, it was like 120 degrees. And B had to come drag my lifeless body out of the van.
Honestly, man, I was worried about. I thought he was gonna have a heat stroke. He was so pale, and he was still laying in a blanket. His thing is like, you know, I like to be under something. I wake him up. I'm like, dude, you need to get out now. Like, he's like, all right, let me just lay down for a minute. I was like, no, you need to get out now. Like, you are going to actually have a heat stroke in front of my eyes. Get out of here, man. And the thing was, the place we were staying, honestly, didn't have AC because it was so hot. It just, like, ruined our entire day because
I walked like half a mile to, like, a Starbucks because there was just no AC available anywhere else.
We sweat for at least 7 days straight that week because it was so hot in Southern California all the way to, like, Oklahoma that in the van it was hot. Got to the venue. It was still hot in there.
Honestly, it was probably closer like to like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
2 weeks of just sweating.
Good way to lose water.
No AC.
And it's a great way to stay in shape.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay in shape. I did actually lose like 14 pounds that month.
So like, you know, it's brutal, but, and sometimes it does seem awful shitty in the moment, but when you're not on the road, that's all you want to, at least all I want to be doing.
Do you have any particular advice or something you've learned now doing the road a couple times? Like, for anybody listening, that the biggest tip that you guys maybe learned along the way?
Pack light.
Period.
Cheesy bean and burrito. What are they
called? Cheesy bean and rice burrito.
Cheesy bean and rice burritos at Taco Bell are $1. Three of them will fill you.
Jar of peanut butter bread, you know, if you get a little
baby
hungry.
Baby wipes.
Spoon of peanut butter is not bad.
Call Chipotle's ahead of time. Yeah. They sometimes
hook it up. Don't spoil the secret. But yeah.
But enough people know about Chipotle.
Yeah.
It sounds much
Chipotle's will feed you if you're a touring artist.
And apparently some other places. Apparently some other places too, but. We've never gotten it.
Just kind of be ready for anything. There's been times where we have like an hour and a half to get to the show and we're about an hour out and we blow a tire in the middle of Tucson and we have to completely, well, if it was the trailer tire, which it was, unpack all of our gear, jack the trailer up, change the tire, reload all the gear.
Car's flying.
Go get a spare tire. And then go to the show and be a little late. You got to be prepared for that. When that happened, we all got out. We didn't say anything. I grabbed the jack, grabbed the tie rod. We just got straight to the point. I started unpacking. We executed that in probably like 20 minutes roughly. But it was like knowing that we had to just
like a
boom,
crew.
Boom.
It's basically just honestly. Anticipate that there's going to be some unexpected inconveniences and that they're just going to happen. And that's just the way it is. And so, like, don't let that bum your mood out. Just take care of it and move on. Like,
remember the bigger picture.
Being in a touring band is not easy, but it's well worth the work if you're willing to put the work into it. So, and just do it. Like, if you're thinking about touring, just go do it. There's like you can book yourself. Our bassist, who recently stepped away, but Kenny, he has been our booker like our whole time. So like you can do it in house. Like I know he worked super fucking hard, like really hard to do it. But I mean, he did. And honestly, now he's like, now that he's not doing music right now, he's just become a booking agent. Like, so we did luck out with that. But I mean, anyone can do it. Like, if you're willing to find a way.
He'd never done anything like that before being in the band. He just one day just started doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of these guys, like, that's the key to it all. You know, among yourselves, you find the guy that, you know, can make the show posters, figure out how
everyone finds a role. Yeah,
right. Yeah, and you learn how to cut out as many middlemen as you can because you don't have money to pay people. So
No, you do not. Right. I assure you.
Barely have money for gas.
Expensive hobby.
Dude, I mean it's basically ever. I mean, being in a band like
especially of today's day and age.
Of course there's like the art aspect of it, and that's the good part, like that's the part that everyone wants to be in a band for, but the part that if you want to be able to continually do it or make it a career is you have to think of a band as a business. Like and you're an entrepreneur, and like the less people you pay out, the more money that stays in and you can do more things. Or like, you know, when that tire blows, like if you're not having to pay someone else to book for you or make tour flyers or anything like that, like you'll have extra money to you can say it, turn down the TV.
Just saying, shut that down, dude. Yeah, that way it doesn't beep at us.
I don't know, it's just it is a lot of hard work. It is,
it really is. I consider it a third job.
Yeah,
completely. Yeah, no, it is.
I prefer to call it my career.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I have a job and then my career that I'm working on.
Yeah, I have a part-time job that I pay the bills with.
Yeah,
and then I enjoy spending the rest of my time
and money for that matter.
Yeah. And money.
Yeah. Yeah. All the money from the job goes into the career.
It's a personal self investment.
Sure.
To say the least.
Well, I mean, even doing this show for me, like I've put a lot of my own money
in. Yeah, I believe it.
Yep. You know, so a lot of time and effort and everything, all the miles I've put into it and stuff. But I believe in it, just like you guys believe in the music.
And I know people appreciate it too, you know, so like it's not all for nothing.
Right. Yeah, man. Well, when you we talked about Chipotle, I was thinking it's different, but the story came to mind, and it makes me laugh. But my buddy Steve, he was a manager at Papa John's.
Okay.
And one time, I forget. Like I think it was like, I think we were in Florida or something. Anyway, but walked into a Papa John's and was like, obviously, like I said, he was a manager in O'Fallon here. And then, like, went down there, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a new transfer coming in starting Monday or something. And he's like, I just wonder if I could make a pizza. And he's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And, like, so the guy, like, so Steve went back there and made his own pizza and then walked out with a free pizza. And I was like, that's pretty genius. Like,
yeah, we've never tried it, but I've heard that, like, a lot of chain pizza places, in particular, I'm thinking of Domino's is the one the Weekend Classic told us about, but like you can call them towards the end of the night. And I'm sure Little Caesars is probably the same.
Little Caesars is the same way.
You can call them and be like, hey, we're a touring band, yada, yada, yada. We don't have any money, which isn't a lie because you don't. And they may give you like a free pizza or something if they're just going to throw them out anyways. Sure. But
especially, we found success in like local pizzerias, like whatever area we're in. Especially like a family-owned business sort of deal, they're usually more prone to donate that kind of stuff because they can write it off as a donation later in the year since they're a smaller business. So
even
that's something to keep in mind for anyone that is smaller in touring as well.
Yeah, but like with the Weekend Classic, because I remember we were in Colorado Springs and they called like that nice pizza place and we got like, it was like $15 a pizza.
I thought that was
Sacramento.
Sacramento, yeah.
No, this was when we were staying at
different times.
Place.
Yeah.
You guys went hiking, right? And yes. I stayed back with them, and they called that pizza place.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
I went with them, and it was a nice
pizza
place.
They did it in Sacramento, and they were successful there, too, because it was like a family-owned pizzeria.
Yeah, it was nice.
Well, let's talk about free pizza, though, man. Mm-hmm. Definitely go for some pizza.
You and I both.
Honestly, I mean,
what's your favorite kind, Shane?
I have to know. Shoot, man, I don't know. I'm a big fan of Chicago deep dish.
Okay. What toppings?
Luminalis.
What toppings?
Yeah, Luminalis
is sweet. Good.
I usually go sausage pepperoni.
Nice.
Classic. I enjoy meat lovers or something. Ooh. Too. And, so.
As far as St. Louis pizza goes, though, let's give our city a little love here. I'm a big fan of Cecil Whitaker's and Stefanina's.
There you go.
Ooh. Great, but, you know, I think that those two are a little bit smaller of a business that they really just capitalize on the little things.
I worked at...
We're going for a Stefanina's sponsorship.
Yeah.
I actually worked at Stefanina's for a little over a year.
Yeah, I worked in Wentzville for quite a while. I worked construction, and then I would deliver pizzas like twice a week or something like that. And actually, a really funny story. One night, I got a call. This lady she calls up to the restaurant. She goes, "I want to add to my order," and we're like, "Well, we don't have any orders to add to, so whatever, lady, we'll take your order." And so we took her order, and she ordered like $250 worth of stuff. Like,
of course, to add on.
Yeah,
of course.
Catering. Like, must have been having a huge party at the house or something. Whatever it was.
Shit.
Well, see, when the Stefanina's I worked at, you know, they're all independent.
Yeah.
So they have.
I also worked at one.
Yeah. So they make their own delivery area, and so we crossed over from Wentzville, Stefanina's to O'Fallon. We met in the middle. Like St. Louis shared a delivery thing or something. So that's what the case was.
Ah, they ordered from two different locations.
So she ordered from O'Fallon and Wentzville. And we both met at Lake St. Louis.
Taste of both.
Yeah, I was at the O'Fallon store.
I showed up the same time the other delivery driver does, and I'm like,
"What are you doing?"
Yeah, I'm like, "Well, that's weird." I'm like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he's like,
it's like that Spider-Man where he's just pointing at himself.
Right. And I said, "Oh, where are you from?" He goes, "The Stefanina's," and I was like, "Oh, okay."
All
right,
Oh, way to big rub man it in your on campus. Nose. Yeah. But they kind of do act like that though, like they're the best.
So,
and they are really good. So I can't blame them.
But anyway, I used to, I pretty much ate my entire paycheck over there because like they allowed us to charge to our paycheck. So
you could just take it out of your paycheck. I'd be like, all right, well, I'll take an extra large for the night.
Yeah. So paycheck comes along, and it's like, you know, 10 bucks. And so
pasta was pretty good.
Yeah.
Everything there was
actually.
Have
you had Monocles that just opened on K like maybe a year?
Yeah, so. I've been over there. It's pretty good.
I think it's
too.
Some of the best pizza I've ever had.
Yeah.
I grew up eating that because me and Brand used to live in Illinois, like Peoria area when we were little, and we would always get that pizza. And it wasn't here. And like a few years ago, they opened up that one right there. And I was so happy.
Yeah.
I was a little upset because I was living in Chicago at the moment. And Austin calls me. He's like, "Yeah, dude, they're opening Monocles off K." And I was like, "Of course, when I move out of the house, they open a Monocles in St. Louis. Whatever." Little did I know, about 4 months later, I'd be getting let go from that job and joining Welcome Home and getting to enjoy Monocles whenever the fuck I please.
Yeah.
So
on paper, your life
cheers to that.
Yeah. Let official go from record. Your job and join a rock band.
Yeah.
That's what they tell children in school to not do.
Yeah. This is true, but you know what?
You could be a motivational
A wise
speaker.
Man once told me, if the passion and the talent and the dedication line up, don't ever stop.
Proctor.
And you know what? Now that I'm here and I'm doing something I'm truly passionate about, it's all good.
Yeah, man.
I can be,
What's the name of that show they're on?
Rustic.
Brock Jergensen and Chase Jergensen on Rustic Reno.
Rustic Reno on the DIY
Rustic
Network.
Rustic Renovations, right?
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
DIY?
Or is it HGTV?
Network. I think it's the DIY Network. Sure.
I think it is DIY. Check it out.
Yeah, they're pretty up. But he gave me that piece of advice.
Proud
one
sponsor,
night.
Rock People
yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Proud sponsor.
Now, they better go ahead and play Welcome Home on their show since we're giving them a shout out over here. Keeping them in mind.
I expect to see payment.
Yeah.
Well, do accept royalties.
Speaking of playing some Welcome Home, let's throw in some tunage for these. You guys did just release a single a little while back called Feel You There.
Yes, sir. Yes. Released it December 23rd.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
22nd.
a star. A pretty growth and abundance of pain in her heart. Would be the death of me. Can't prove, but I got a hunch. We'll never get past the need to love.
I fear when the pillow meets my head, I'll let those bad thoughts in. I see the stars at night, so bright as they circle my head. But please know it's hard coming down from that high. Can we just pretend? But fully aware, I need to wake up and move on. I'm feeling all alone. Take my hand and show me something I don't know.
Anything you guys care to share around this song?
It was just, we did basically two songs and or three really in 2017. It was just kind of like a transitional period for us, and I don't know, anyone else have anything to say?
I would say that Feel You There is probably our most transparent representation of who we are as a band right now until our new music comes out. But it's like a crossover stage.
It's a good
just
transition.
Happy to Be Here, which was our first full length that we released in 2016, to now. So this is probably our proudest release as a band, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Overall.
Where do you guys record it?
We record, so the studio itself doesn't have a name, but we call it Lou Dog Studios. It's down in the Grove, and we record with our buddy Cody James, who tracked it, mixed, and mastered.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's phenomenal. He's like one of our best friends, so having him as our producer is just having, it's like having the, he's like another
like a
member.
Sixth member, yeah, sure, yeah. Realistically.
Yeah, I mean that's what I always hear. Like, a great producer is always like becomes a member of the band and you know, provides ideas and everything, and you know, just like anybody else would, and you know, collaborate and work together to make the best product you can.
Yeah, he like pushes us to try and do our best version of ourselves. And these, like I said, these are transitional kind of songs, like a phase, and. You'll see soon enough with even newer music, but he did an awesome job on just, these songs were great learning experience too. And I'm super fucking proud of them.
I think we can all say that we are, but yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Lou Dog, is that a Sublime reference?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And
but
no,
it comes from
time.
It's definitely Sublime reference, but the reason it even got brought up is because there is a dog at this studio, and her name's Lucy.
Yeah.
So, Lou Dog Studios.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it's
kind of a spin on, you know, the St. Louis, Lou.
Yeah, there you go.
You take it however you want.
Lucy.
As soon as you said it, though, that's what I started going through my head. It smells like Lou Dog inside the van. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Lou Dog. The only way, Lou Dog's the only way, stay insane. Like, yeah. Let the loving.
I actually don't know that song, so I'm ashamed.
Yeah, you do.
You want
this is what I got.
It's that song?
I said, yeah. Remember that.
Maybe I'm not loving. Noticing the lyric.
Everybody
about.
Knows that song.
Yeah, I definitely know the song.
It's Living with Louis Dog's the only way to stay sane. That's it. That's the line.
It's a cool quote.
Yeah.
You guys, we're talking Sublime there. I think you were singing Nirvana when I walked up.
Yeah,
big 90s fans.
Yeah.
I was singing Apologies, actually, practicing my vibrato over here.
Really trying to make sure I get a rich vibrato from the diaphragm.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to also get a little bit of reverb and delay on this PA over here, but...
When I think of that... You guys did what? Black Hole Sun?
That was one of our favorite songs to play, honestly.
In fact, like, we haven't played it for a while, but we'll play it again. Mm-hmm. It's just too fun, man. Like,
yeah.
All respect and rest in peace to Chris Cornell himself, because that is a huge influence for all of us.
Dude, we decided on that cover. We played it. Then they were supposed to come to Point Fest.
Right.
And it would have been, I was planning on going, it was going to be my first time ever seeing Soundgarden. And then, like you said, may he rest in peace, Chris Cornell.
Yeah, actually, we played it, and then he passed away. So then we went on a summer tour, and we decided,
played
you know
every
what,
night.
To dedicate ourselves to Chris Cornell's great rock influence, we're going to play it every night for 32 days, I think that tour was. So
something like that.
We played it every night.
Played it even the second half of it, too.
Yeah, we played it probably 60-65 times.
All over the country.
Yeah.
Spreading the black hole!
I'm really disappointed in myself that I didn't I had an opportunity to go, and I didn't make it happen. And
how are you supposed to know, though? You know what
I mean? Not, but before even that, though, like, he was... Before the Soundgarden reunion and all that, with the Point Fest show and all that stuff, but he was he did a solo acoustic thing at Sheldon one night, and I would have done anything to be there. I just couldn't make it happen, and but it would his He's got, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but he's got a record. I think it's like a, just kind of a bootleg thing or whatever, but it's live in Sweden, unplugged, and he does like...
That's awesome.
Temple of the Dog, he does Soundgarden, he does solo stuff, he does Audioslave. I mean, yeah. Like all these songs, and like...
Temple of the Dog's actually really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I've recently gotten to them. I didn't realize that that was like Chris Cornell and Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a pretty cool collaboration.
And he does also a couple of cover, like he does the Billie Jean cover on there. He does,
yeah. I've heard that one. I heard that one.
He does a Zeppelin tune, Thank You. And
which one?
Thank You.
Nice.
And it's just really cool to hear everything like stripped. I mean, it sounds, the recording is incredible. And like, so highly encourage anybody that's a Chris Cornell fan to go, it's on Spotify and stuff. You go.
Live in Sweden?
Yeah.
Even if you don't know you're a Chris Cornell fan, you actually are. No, yeah. You've heard him at some point.
There's a 99% sure. chance you are a Chris Cornell fan.
Also respect to him for playing Led Zeppelin. That's the greatest rock band in the world.
Yeah, man.
Period.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm huge. I love what they did. But, like...
I'm also a huge Pink Floyd fan. So well, it's sure. To me, it's spectrum. Like two different sides, but two great rock and roll bands.
For Zeppelin, I did lose a little bit whenever I learned about how much stuff that they, like, ripped off of old blues artists.
I heard about that. Yeah, and like honestly, Stairway to Heaven. I didn't want to keep hearing about it because it ruined the way I thought of them.
Yeah.
So after that, I decided that the Eagles is probably my second-tier best rock and roll band of all time.
You know what, though? It's like, I totally get people being a little bit bummed about it. But at the same time, I know it's not big in rock music, really, but as far as rap music goes, and we're all pretty big into like hip-hop music, people sample and like like everything, everyone's songs before.
It's just tapes. Just doing their own take on songs that were
already
created.
I think it would be different, though, if there was credit. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
They took everything and put Page and Plant on it and stuff, so like...
Yeah, I do understand that.
And hope nobody would notice. So...
But the internet came around. They weren't expecting that one.
Right.
Gotcha.
Granted, a lot of it was, you know, this is all done before the copyright stuff and all that, like you're saying, before the internet really could make it accessible. I mean, people, they could be playing these songs around the country and nobody knows because unless they were going to the show, so.
Unless they happen to find, you know, the record that the old blues record that they were ripping off in the first place, how would you ever know?
That was according to the story. One of the stories, like I believe his name was Jake Holmes, wrote the song "Dazed and Confused."
And crap.
And his is very, you know, folk kind of darker version of it. And then of course they made it what it is. And I mean, it's a badass tune, but. Apparently, like, he didn't even know they cut his song until, like, he went to, like, the, I think according to story, he opened for the Yardbirds.
Okay.
And that's where...
Jimmy heard him.
Paige heard the song and then introduced it to the band, and then they went out and started doing it. And then apparently, like, Jake Holmes, like, joined the military and was gone and, like, doing all this. And, like, so it was already, like, a huge hit before he ever
even
heard of it.
Yeah,
like,
knew so, that like, was becoming a thing, yeah.
Yeah, so,
that's pretty wild.
Yeah, so.
You probably heard that. He's like, that's my fucking song. Those bastards! Yeah.
One thing that I didn't really realize about Led Zeppelin until recently was that Jimmy Page actually kind of hand-picked that band. Like, he picked
Robert Plant. Yeah, I mean, he was in the Yardbirds before that. And they were
I had never actually known that until... Dude, a few months ago, and
mastermind.
Yeah, he really was the mastermind behind that band, and that's kind of impressive to me.
Sure. I mean, like I said, everything they've put out is like it's great music, and I love what they did with all the songs that they did. But like I said, it is like imagine if you were Jake Holmes and you or any of these guys, and you're like somebody else is making tons of money off of your music and stuff. Like, it would be, you know, rather frustrating.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
It would.
Imagine. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine if someone else made our song better than we made it. And they got huge and made millions off of it. And then we're just like, hey, man.
I'd be like, come on. Just give me, like, pennies on the dollar. Right. Come on.
Help me out.
But then, like, you think about all these guys. Like, there's another one that they did a lot of his songs, too. And it was Zeppelin wasn't alone. I mean, like, the Doors and all of them. But they were, you know, but, like, Blind Willie Dixon and stuff. Like, they, you know. A lot of these old blues artists, like, died broke, and, like, they influenced so many people that, you know, went on to do so many other things with their music and stuff, and so, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's messed up, but it's the way it was.
It's an unfortunate part of rock history that we choose to turn the other cheek to.
Right. Honestly, not enough people probably are informed on.
Yeah.
Like, I just started learning about this within the last year, probably.
I'm just, I like a lot of that rock and roll documentary stuff. So I watch a lot of it.
Speaking of Jimmy Page documentaries, you ever seen, what's that? It's the one, it's The Edge, Jack White, and Jimmy Page. It's, It Might Get, no. Or is it Might Get Loud? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm blanking on that one.
It's like, it's just like a documentary about how, I think it's It May Get Loud. I think that's the name of it. But they basically just talk about how three of them are just like influential guitarists in the way that they even like effects and just like making the guitar sound crazy and just expanding the world that, you know, is so common now. But back then when they were all doing it, it was pretty much the frontier of just like guitar work and how you could make so many crazy sounds with one instrument. And
yeah,
it's worth watching.
Yeah.
It's worth watching.
Check it out.
They shred on it.
Shred. You guys were talking of kind of how some of your sound and how this is sort of a transitional period of sorts. How do we define that Welcome Home sound, and where are you guys planning to take it, like as far as this being the transition, you said?
So like I said, like when we first kind of started this band, it was definitely pretty pop punk influenced, definitely in that vein, especially like the first EP that I think it's still available.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where All My Hope Is Buried, and has three tracks on it, and all those are pretty much just straight up pop punk songs. And then by the time we came out the first full length, Just Happy to Be Here, it was, it had like pop punk influence on certain tracks, but overall, it was more of like a...
It was kind of also a transitional.
Yeah, honestly, we've been just evolving constantly.
Right.
I had just started the band, and about 2 months later, they were like, hey, do you want to track drums for this? So I had actually fully wrote one song on that. But other than that, it was just kind of like pick and choosing what I wanted to change and keeping the structure pretty similar to what was already wrote. So that was all...
Yeah. Yeah, so even like that, exactly what he's kind saying, like, as far as just who's here now, it was me, Austin, Aaron, and Kenny at the time, who was part of that record. And to get back to your question, it was like an more alternative rock kind of album. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way, you know, we perceived it. And now that Brandon kind of like got to start writing with these two newer songs, Freaking Out and Feel You There. It's more, still more like alt rock, but I don't know. Did anyone want to jump in?
More about the vibes.
Yeah, you know? More just like much more thought out. Just
a little bit more technical, sort of like
just
a
growing as songwriting, like right.
Also as musicians. When I had started, I hadn't played drums for about 2 years, but I've been playing drums for over 10, so I was a little rusty, and it took a while for me to get back into actually playing, let alone songs, but then like writing. The more I played, the more I figured out like what kind of style I wanted to deliver. So that also in turn kind of made us change up the way that we wanted to deliver songs, because I mean, like Led Zeppelin, for instance, John Bonham, like his drum beats alone, like completely separated Led Zeppelin from a lot of other bands. So I want to not just be like a basic drummer that does super simple beats. While simplicity is also very important to me as a drummer, but you know, there's different ways to spice things up and make it a little tasty and kind of reflect on who you are as a person and as a musician. So I think that's what we're in the process of doing here.
Yeah, I mean, like, with the exception of Aaron, this was everyone's first band.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's just been, since the beginning, it's just been constantly, like, trying to figure out who we want to be. You know, as, like, when we first started out, even through Just Happy to Be Here, there's, like, heavy influence, like not copying, but like maybe even just like subconsciously kind of writing things to try to sound like sure. a people that we like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key to finding out who you are.
Yeah. And it's just like writing as many songs as possible over time and just kind of figuring out. It's a hard thing that we didn't really start doing until these two newer songs, and have since then completely ran with it. But just having no rules, like we just write whatever we think sounds cool, however we want to play it, and don't care about sounding like anyone else.
Yeah. Also, trying to stick to a genre is kind of something that
we just can't do.
We can't really do.
some people can do it
so
really
many
well.
Subgenres and whatever you want to call it now to classify music, to where we're just like, you know what?
We just want
to
be
band. We're just a rock band. Like, that's all it is. It's rock music. And I think that, you know, playing 200 shows together and practicing twice a week, every week, whether we're on the road or not, kind of made us just figure out how to play with each other and figure out what each
strengths
individual musician is stronger in,
sure.
and trying to configure songs in that way now.
I talk about a lot on the show, but one of my favorite singer-songwriters is Will Hogue, and he his early stuff was a lot more like Americana rock and roll, you know, Bruce Springsteen and influence kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, but now he, later in his career, recently he sold a song to Eli Young Band that made a number one hit single on country radio, called "Even If It Breaks Your Heart." So like now it's a little more country stuff. So he said one time in an interview, people were like asking him like, "Yeah, what are you, rock and roll or country or what?" He's like, "We just play Will Hogue music," and I was like, "Such a great line! Like that's exactly what it is."
And that's quite literally the exact answer we want to be able to give. Like, what are you? We're Welcome Home.
Right.
Like, we do whatever we want. And plus, when you kind of, like, loosen up those rules and you're not afraid to explore different styles of music, like, it's songwriting is just like a muscle. And you got to work it and, like, do different things. And that's how you get stronger, is just not being afraid to try anything and everything. And it may not work, and we've written songs that we may never use, but because we wrote them, we discovered something new about ourselves or something that we're capable of, or maybe something we know we can do or not do, for that matter.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's gonna be, but we're getting ready to record some new stuff probably sometime this month, and I'm excited.
So are we thinking a new record in 18 or
New record
or EP or something? Or
if it were to be this year, it would be at the very end.
Right.
But I'd say more realistically, it'll probably be early 2019 is the goal right now. That being said, we definitely plan on putting out quite a bit of music this year alone.
A few singles.
Sure.
We'll probably do it in that sort of format.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the big thing now with streaming, especially being the primary use of listening to music.
And people buying records anyway, so
It's starting to come back, but especially with like hip hop and pop being the most popular genres in the world, they survive off singles for the most part. Right. So
I totally get it, man.
They'll put singles off records that have been
also they incorporate a lot of everything in their music, especially now, like hip hop. I'm a huge hip hop fan myself, so I stay very in touch with that. Oh, there's a dog up there. This puppy.
Damn it, Parker!
That's Parker.
But we're doing a podcast, Parker.
It's interesting to see how hip hop artists sort of influence from rock and roll and any sort of other genres and use that to their advantage now. So I think that we kind of take hip hop and, in a way, sort of incorporate that. Almost and a slight bit to like what we want to do, because
the mentality,
we all really love it, and they have a cool mentality.
I mean,
a cool way of branding themselves too.
That's the big part, is like
massively successful. So
I know some of us definitely take different parts of hip hop musically as a big influence, and you'll see that more and more as time goes on. But mostly just the way they are. Like Brandon was saying, like the branding, like they're just not afraid to be themselves. Right. And that's something that I think is missing from rock music, to be honest with you, is a lot of people are just too, I don't think afraid is the right word, but trying to be too many different people. Like, yeah, there's been some incredible rock bands and just rock artists, singer-songwriters and stuff, and it's okay to be influenced by them, but I just think too many people are trying to copy one another, and that creates a lot of, like, just
oversaturation.
Yeah, just oversaturation in sounds. And man, I want to know who you are, because I'm sure there's bands and artists out there that if they were willing to truly be themselves and just play whatever they want to play, it would probably be better than anything they've ever released. And that's what we want to do, is just, it doesn't matter what the song is or what the style is, but whatever we want to be in that moment is what we're gonna do.
It's kind of ironic.
Did you just fart?
No, it was the
chair. I looked at it too.
Man. It's ironic too, because a lot of hip hop artists these days are saying like they're rock stars, like Lil Uzi Vert and like obviously Post Malone.
Well, because in a way they are.
And they are. They are the rock stars of this generation. So it's kind of interesting that they use that term and like idolize it still as a thing. And then you got people that are in rock and roll bands or pop punk or whatever, any sort of rock music, that they don't get nearly as much attention as all these hip hop artists that are like, I'm a rock star. Sure. So I think that mentality that they're displaying, it's honestly really cool. Yeah.
They know they're the shit.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's kind of like having that Robert Plant sort of like mentality. Like,
it really
knows
is
you're that
like,
good.
It kind of
so people just believe it.
It kind of faded away as like an overall presentation of a lot of rock music. I mean, I guess I don't know for certain because I was super young, but I'm feeling like the 90s had like the... I'm not saying there aren't bands now, because there definitely are, but it's like an overall feeling, just kind of like rock is just like, man, you just do whatever the hell you want. Sure. And like, and that kind of faded away. We plan on bringing it back.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
I recently watched the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen that
you
one.
Guys watch that, man.
Selby's a big wrestling
dude,
fan.
It was
wrestling school.
Yeah,
Monday night, Selby.
It was really, really well done. And then like, but I thought what was interesting, you know, speaking of kind of the hip hop and all that, but like in that 30 for 30, they showed like, you know, Snoop Dogg and so, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how like they watched wrestlers like Ric Flair and, you know, the interviews and all the stuff that they were doing, and like they wanted to be like that. They wanted to have the flashy jackets and the, you know, the girls and the cars and
stand out. Like it's like you can still be humble,
right?
But like not be afraid to kind of show yourself off just at least a little bit. Like
know that you're at least really good at what you're doing.
Right. Yeah, man. But yeah, if you haven't checked out that 30 for 30, I would highly encourage you to do that, because it was very interesting. So, but yeah, you can come see Welcome Home on the stage live here in St. Louis at the Firebird on February 16th. Again, $10 tickets available. You guys have them from the band, and they can get them
Firebird. We have physicals. I believe the boys in secondary have physicals too, if any of you guys happen to know them on a personal level. Otherwise, you can pick them up on Ticketfly, and there's links on all of our social media that you can find. And
FirebirdSTL.com, I believe.
Until they sell out, they're available at the door, too. So.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's going to be a fun night. Again, all great bands, and get to maybe meet some Intervention coming in. Dude, and everything else, too. And
you will like them. You will like both bands if you haven't seen them before.
If you haven't listened to them, I recommend giving every band a listen at least once before you come. Otherwise, you're going to come and just be like, wow, I wish I could sing along to this. Because all the songs are just so catchy. You're like, wow, I want to be a part of everyone singing along and stage diving and all that. So, you know.
It's stage diving, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you come to the show, jump off the stage, make it yours. Right. It's your show just as much as ours.
I will say this. This is
crowd
like,
interaction is huge.
This show is special to us because it really will be like the closing of a chapter for us as a band. In many ways, primarily musically, a lot of things are going to be different in a better way. Like, I truly do believe that, but it will be different, and some of these songs probably won't be played after this night. So, yeah, come out and sing with us, because we'll miss them. Miss some of the songs. So,
well, you can purchase these songs like on all your digital platforms. You can stream on Spotify. You pick up the single "Feel You There," but you guys wanted to share another single you recently released. Is "Freaking Out." Let's close the show on that one. You guys, anything you guys want to share on this tune?
Just real quick on this song, one of our friends, Maddie Munsell, from a band called Mock Love. They're based out of Columbia, but I mean, for the most part, they're also part of the St. Louis scene just as much as we are, by any means. And they're an awesome band. They have a lot of cool things coming. So,
we've put out some dope merch.
Yeah. So thank you to her for doing this song, because she made it exactly the way I heard it in my head the first time I ever thought of it. And that means the world to me and to us. And yeah, go check out their music as well.
Nice. Yeah.
Mock Love.
And we don't care how you listen to it.
As long as you do.
If you download it for free or whatever.
It's on Kingdom Leaks.
Listen, we don't care.
It's on Kingdom Leaks.
Go get it. In Camp, all that. YouTube, whatever you want.
Yeah. It's LimeWire.
Napster.
Napster.
I don't know if it's on Napster. Well, actually, it is.
It is on Napster. It is on Napster.
Sources have told us.
Sources confirmed. Welcome home on Napster.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you guys so much for doing this, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very
Thanks
much
for coming
doing
to
this.
Our
come and hang out.
Our humble
our our headquarters over here in O'Fallon.
Maybe we'll do another one here soon when we get some new tunes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
We'll be sure to send them to you first. You'll be the first round to get them. Get some feedback.
I would love that. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Cause I can't, yes, we've got that sugar going.
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff along the throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.